This month, the Seattle Archdiocese released a list of 77 priests and clergy members with credible or established accusations of sexual abuse against them. But when former Seattle resident Steve O'Connor saw the list, his abuser wasn't on it. O'Connor says he was raped repeatedly by a teacher named Dan Adamson in the early 1960s at St. Benedict Catholic School in Wallingford. O'Connor won a settlement from the order of priests who ran that school. He was awarded $8 million by a King County jury in 2012, but the church only released the names of priests and clergy, not teachers or other employees. Now, O'Connor is calling on the Seattle Archdiocese to expand the list to all church workers. Before you meet him, I warn you, this interview might not be appropriate for all listeners. Steve O'Connor told me about the abuse he suffered as a teenager.
Dan Adamson was the seventh grade teacher, but he was the omnipresent power at St. Benedict's. I was selected as his boy in the seventh grade. He came to my house and announced that I would be working weekends with him, traveling around the state, tuning pipe organs, that we would be staying overnight. My parents are both deceased, so I can't speak for them, but certainly no red flags were raised. God had called. The abuse was horrific. It was in various places. He was known by all the teachers, nuns, and priests to have an elaborate train set in his basement, and that's where he would take the victims, is to his basement, and then it would go to the attic, and then it would go to motels around the state. It would go to the school. And this story would be repeated by multiple victims. The victims who came forward at trial had the same testimony. And I think it's a terrible misconception for people to say, well, these people don't come forward till they're 60. I came forward at 12. The principal was put on notice, legal notice. I told the principal, a Dominican nun. I told Father Conrad in the confessional. I told other priests in the confessional. But I told them in a meeting. I told Father Conrad. And it was very heart-wrenching to watch other victims I'd never met come up on the witness stand at trial and talk about having a meeting with Father Conrad, with their mother, and having the same thing. You're going to hell. You're a liar. You can never talk about this. I have the power to send you to hell. And pre-Vatican II Catholics in that neighborhood, if I was told by a priest I was going to hell, I might as well jump off the bridge. That was literal. And it was reinforced by the parents.
Steve, how did suffering this abuse as a child affect the rest of your life?
The permanent damage, I'll just give you one example. If you interviewed my four children and you said, what kind of a dad? They'd say, oh, he's great. If you don't mind having someone look over your shoulder 24 hours a day. My kids never went to a dance without me chaperoning. My kids never went to a CYO meeting without me there. When they went to the CYO convention, I drove the van. When they went to parishes on CYO events, I walked the perimeter at night. And as I, in my old age, I look back and I know that not one of my children ever sat on my lap. And the most emotion I could drum up at each one of their weddings was to shake their hand. Now, you can take that what you will, but I'm not a huggy type guy. And I just think that's a classic example.
How widespread do you think sexual abuse still is in the church and its schools and organizations?
All of my grandchildren attend Catholic school, with the exception of my son's two children who do not. I have grandchildren in several Catholic schools, and people ask, well, that's kind of a conflicting. I think it's less widespread. I think it's maybe minimal. I don't know for sure. But I do know when I go to a Catholic school or when I see my grandchildren at Catholic school, I see parents. I see parents picking them up. I see parents looking out for them. And that's the parental knowledge and the parental watchfulness is huge now. Nobody's getting away with a priest going to the parents and saying, your son has been chosen as my special altar boy, and throwing him to the wolves. No parents. I think if a parent saw a Catholic priest talking to their child, I think if my children saw a Catholic priest cornering one of my grandchildren in the corner of a schoolyard talking to him, there would be outrage and it would be immediate.
Why are your children and your grandchildren still in Catholic schools?
Because it's my children's choice to send them to Catholic school. I do want to say one thing about Catholic school in my personal experience. Some of the greatest life skills I learned at St. Benedict's, and I'll tell you what they were. They were how to take care of each other. I see eighth grade Catholic school children, and I see them talking to the first grader. I see them caring for the second grader. I see the third grader looking out for themselves. We looked out for each other at St. Benedict's because no one looked out for us. We were like a group of children who only had each other. The bonds at St. Benedict's of the children at St. Benedict's, I still have friends that I went to grade school with, some of my closest friends. My wife grew up right down the street from me. I met her in the second grade. She's a very fervent Catholic. One of the most heroic things I did at the conclusion of that trial was turn in my membership. I'll never be a Catholic again, ever.
Ultimately, Steve, what do you hope comes from your sharing your story of abuse?
I hope any victims who are abused by anyone at St. Benedict's do not sit in silence any longer. And that goes for all the parishes in the Archdiocese. Do not sit in silence any longer. You have people that will support you, people that defend you, people that will corroborate your testimony, as I did. I have to say right now, two of the bravest people I ever met in my life, and I saw a lot of brave police officers and a lot of brave Marines in combat. And the two bravest people were the people I'd never met that came forth with nothing to gain at my trial and testified. But by coming forward, just like the list with the Archdiocese, we've at least got a start. They at least, after years of inaction on this, have started to release. They must release all of the names of coaches, teachers, principals, youth ministers, volunteers with credible accusations against them. And they must quit having people try to call their hotline. They are not the legal. They are not the police. They do not have legal standing to tell people. People need to know their rights in these cases. Lives have been ruined for too long. It's got to stop.
Steve O'Connor won a settlement in King County for suffering rape and sexual abuse from his teacher at St. Benedict Catholic School in Seattle's Wallingford neighborhood in the early 1960s. That teacher, Dan Adamson, is deceased now. His name was not on the list released this month by the Seattle Archdiocese of 77 clergy who admitted to sexually assaulting children or whose allegations were either established or deemed to be credible. The Archdiocese spokesperson, Greg Mignone, confirmed to KUOW that the list is limited to the names of clergy and religious order members. In an email, Mignone said, "The church will continue to review its programs and protocols, and appropriate changes are carefully considered." You're listening to KUOW.